You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goals, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, welcome along. It is time for the playoffs in the Championship, League One and League Two. We're going to cover them all off in this one podcast. First up, Pete Farris on the Championship semi-finals, and then we'll speak to Jason Lewis about League One and League Two. First up, Pete, you ready for this? So it all comes down.
I am ready for this.
Let's start with the Friday night game. It's Brentford versus Middlesbrough. 6-4 Brentford. The draw 23-10, and Middlesbrough priced up at 9-5, Brentford, of course, finishing fifth with 78 points, a full 7 points behind Middlesbrough in the end. Those back-to-back wins for Brentford took them into the playoffs. I mean, the form, full stop, hasn't been spectacular, has it, Pete? I mean, three wins in the last eight games. Going back to towards the end of March. Middlesbrough, similar, really. I mean, three defeats in the same span of games, the last eight. Four wins in there and a draw in that final game against Brighton. Middlesbrough, you know more about Middlesbrough than most, being a fan. You're probably getting pretty nervous at this time of the season. In my mind, they tend to disappoint when it comes to this kind of stage.
Yeah, but it's been a long time since they were sort of involved in this kind of stage. They've kind of disappeared and not been good enough in approach to this stage over recent years. The thing that was really interesting for me, it's one of the few times of the season where I genuinely will look at head-to-heads. And the fact of the matter is that in the two head-to-heads that Borough and Brentford have had this season, Borough are in total 5-0 up. They won one game, of course, at home 4-0, and they won 1-0 away at Brentford. Now, that 1-0 victory at Brentford, they were lucky. They didn't deserve to win that game, not even close. But they did. So you've got a Borough side who kind of, you can look at that Brighton game all you want, but no Bamford, no Vussen. Those will both be fit for the game, for both these games, I should say. And also, it's a side that had kind of written the Brighton game off because, as Charlton's fantastic tweet suggested, they were going to have to win 20-0, 21-0, or need a huge result against Bournemouth. It was never going to happen. Not in a million years. Not in a million years was it going to happen. So, looking at the actual value here, knowing that Borough have been to Brentford already this season, 9-5 is interesting. But it might also be well worth looking here at the unders on the goals. Unders on the goals is 7-10. Now, recently, in playoff semi-finals, the trend has been toward unders. It hasn't been toward overs, it's been toward unders. So you might want to look at under 2.5 goals at 7-10. You might want to look at just one goal in the game if you want. Either way, this is a game that Aitor Karanka, for me, will set up, and he pretty much said as much, set up to try and get at least a chance at the Riverside of killing Brentford off. It's as simple as that. So the 9-5 is interesting, but if you are playing that, then it's worth looking at the even money. Now, let's just look at Brentford, because Brentford's form, like you say, coming into it wasn't phenomenal, was it? Three wins from the last 7 or 8 games. They lost against Wednesday, drew a few, and won a couple against teams they should really be beating anyway. Fulham, Wigan, Reading. Although, tell Derby they should be beating Reading. Mark Warburton, of course, I said several months ago, well, now he's been told he's going to quit. The players are furious, back against them. I was wrong. They've kicked on and they've been absolutely sensational. Their goal difference, of course, getting them to fifth ahead of Ipswich and a very unlucky, in my opinion, Wolves side. So what other bets are worth looking at? Well, Grant Leadbitter has scored in both games. He scored the winner in the 1-0. He scored in the 4-0. It's worth looking at Leadbitter anytime at 21-10. We've seen great form recently from the likes of Alex Pritchard, of whom I'm a huge fan. Borough do tend to give away as well quite a lot of free kicks in quite a dangerous area. And Pritchard is very, very talented at getting that kind of free kick in the back of their opponent's net. 9-4 any time for Alex Pritchard also looks fantastic. Ultimately, if you're looking at it to qualify, because Middlesbrough are going to go to the Riverside, because I'm not expecting a lot of goals, it's going to mean that at the Riverside, you could say Brentford are going to have a huge chance, but it's going to be rocking that place. They won 4-0 earlier in the season. I think this might be just a bit too much for Brentford to qualify at 4-7. Middlesbrough would be the other play. I mean, you could look at 1-0, 15-2. What happened the last time the two of them were there? And also, I really think the draw Middlesbrough at 11-2. I think Borough is going to have just a bit too much for a Brentford side they've beaten twice already. Even if on one occasion, they didn't deserve to win.
Yeah, fair enough. The East Anglia derby, Ipswich versus Norwich, perfect playoff semi-final over two legs, of course. First leg at Portman Road, where Ipswich are 9-5 to win the tie, 23-10 the draw, Norwich 6-4. It's 11-8 for Ipswich to qualify and 8-15 for Norwich to get to Wembley. The head-to-heads this season show a 2-0 home win for Norwich and a 1-0 away win for Norwich. In fact, they've won the last four on the spin, Norwich City, against their near neighbours. Back in 2010-2011, which was the last previous time they played, they actually won 4-1 and 5-1, 5-1 away from home. So two successive away wins at Portman Road. They'll go into this confidently, Pete. And when you look at the actual form, they should go in confidently as well, because in the end, they were 3 points away from automatic promotion. And a little bit of goal difference. Their away form has been sensational. They've only dropped 4 points in the last nine games, going back to the start of February. So brilliant. Seven wins in that run as well, and they've been winning all sorts of different places. Ipswich almost did themselves out of the playoffs in the same way Derby did, losing to Blackburn, but Wolves were just too far away on the goal difference. Do you think this will be a tight game, Pete? I mean, you look back this season, both games have been fairly tight, but in previous seasons, the derby nature of it has got the better of the players, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, you're absolutely right. But I mean, again, if we're looking at how teams have got on against each other this season, Norwich are 3-0 up over two games, aren't they? Won the first early season away at Ipswich, and of course, back in, I think it was March, they won at 2-0 as well. So this is the thing for me. It is an incredible game. The atmosphere is going to be absolutely brilliant. One of my favourite bets in this is actually the half-time draw. First half draw. And I know I've just played that in the Borough game as well. But I think the atmosphere is going to take some settling down. I think you've got two teams who will just be desperate early on not to lose the game, and certainly not to give away the advantage. So I think the atmosphere, and I think the actual game itself, first half betting, draw 19-20. I think all of that plays into what is going to be an incredibly tight affair. But again, I am going to go with Norwich here. I remember seeing a headline of one website, which was Okai the Who. And that's when Alex Neil took over. And there was a lot of questions from a lot of people. And the job he has done has been utterly unbelievable. This is the biggest derby in these two clubs' histories, really. And this guy deserves to be there because he's dragged, not even dragged, he has motivated Norwich. He has got them absolutely flying. They are flying. Ipswich and Mick McCarthy, after that last game, after the, just going to say, run of form that finds them there, they really did not convince toward the end of the season. They didn't convince for quite some time either. I mean, to win three of the last five and, you know, score the goals they did, you've got to say, well, Pete, that's convincing. And at home, they're one of the best teams. They were a team that you loved playing at home all season. And you would be absolutely right. But I didn't think they were particularly brilliant against Forest. They weren't really great against Blackpool. They got a great win, of course, away at Watford. And okay, they deserved everything they got against Cardiff. But the point remains, they are still a side that, for me, are coming into this on a down. They were panicked. You could see, you could feel it. A friend of mine was at the ground, was at the Ipswich game, final game of the season. He was at Ewood Park. He's a big Ipswich fan. And he was saying, you could feel in the Ipswich fans, the nerves and the energy just went, just disappeared. And when everyone was filtering out the stadium, it wasn't, yes, we're there, we're in the playoffs. It was, oh my God, we almost went in the playoffs. Oh God, this is going to be horrible. We've got Norwich to come. And as G'd up as they are, with the way Norwich have been under Alex Neil, to qualify Norwich market at 8-15, I think it's the two fabs. I think we've got a Middlesbrough-Norwich playoff final. Now, if you're looking at goal scorers, I mean, you're a man, Lee, who understandably this season has played Daryl Murphy a hell of a lot as a nap, haven't you? Or at least as a bet.
Yeah.
We saw him score a brilliant goal, a great finish. Even though it was from short range, it was still a great finish against Blackburn, final game of the season. And we've seen a guy who has just been magnificent all year. He scored four goals in his last four games, although he only scored in three of them because he got a brace. against Blackburn, but 27 goals this season for Daryl Murphy. He's 29-20 any time. But if you're looking for a Norwich striker, looking for a man for Norwich to sort of push you over the line, there's going to be a lot of them. There is going to be a lot of guys to pick from. Hooper hasn't been starting, so maybe he can't. What about Player of the Year Bradley Johnson at 12-5? I mean, this guy, again, has been getting involved with the goals. He's been scoring. He looks brilliant. He's confident. He's been talking his side up. And the way that I'd put it is all of the words that are coming out of Norwich are positive, are going with momentum, are there really to drive them on. I'm not convinced that what coming out of Ipswich and seeing Mick McCarthy's face and hearing about how the fans were acting at the end of that Blackburn game, that Ipswich are going into this in the best position possible. And therefore, again, I think Norwich at 6-4 are a really, really good bit of value this weekend.
Very nice. Nap time. We're going to carry the naps on through the both semi-finals and the final, of course. What have you picked out? Not much to pick from.
Well, I think there is quite a few, but I like the half-time draw, Ipswich-Norwich. At 19-20. You can almost see it, Lee, can't you, when you've got two teams who are such massive rivals. It's the biggest game in what is always a massive game anyway that these two have ever had against each other. There's two of these huge ones to come. You can feel, anyway, that all of that atmosphere, all of that build-up will probably just lead to two teams cancelling each other out for a long old time. And that, for me, is definitely the way to go about it. I think 19-20 for the half-time draw is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, you look through recent years of this kind of thing. When, on the whole, you gain unders goals, which on the whole, you know there was in the Perth semi-finals last year, there was two overs, there was two unders, because it was 1-1, and then it was 2-1 in extra time to get the final we got last year. So, yeah, there's two overs games, but these, for me, will all be unders. I mean, Norwich is a club. They have relatively recent experience. I mean, say relatively recent, 13 years ago. But they've still been there or thereabouts, haven't they? And it's been a while since Ipswich were there. And Ipswich's record, I mean, if you go through historically as a club, 2005, they were in there. They didn't get to the playoff final. It was them, Derby, West Ham and Preston. Ipswich didn't get to the playoff final. A couple of years before, 99, 98. When it gets to this stage, Ipswich haven't been having the best of times. Now, Norwich, you know, 2002, you could look at that. But for me, I just look at that as being the best bet. And in terms of the actual team to get promoted, I think you've got the two fabs in the market. You can choose Norwich at 7-4. You can choose Borough at 9-4. It's going to be so, so tight. I'm not just saying this because I'm a fan. I'm always very objective when it comes to analysing Middlesbrough. I do think at 9-4, with the squad they've got, they will go up. But it's interesting, and this for me is just going to be four fascinating matches.
Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it? And as is League One and League Two. We'll be getting Jason Lewis on the line in a minute or two's time. We'll get the nap standings at the end as well. Pete, thank you very much for your time. We'll speak to you ahead of the semi-finals next week.
Thank you very much, Lee. Cheers.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yeah, time to look at League One and League Two playoff semi-finals in the company of Jason Lewis from the72.co.uk. Both the League One matches are on Thursday night, starting with Chesterfield Preston and Sheffield United versus Swindon. You well, Jason?
I'm very well, Lee. It's going to be a great couple of weeks of playoff action. I think it's one of the highlights of the footballing calendar, really.
You're in fine fettle as well, of course, because regular listeners will know, but anyone who's just tuning in for the first time, a Bournemouth fan, can't have gone much better than the end of the season, can it, for you? Nice week?
No, I thought last Monday when we beaten, then Saturday, I don't think I'll ever experience anything like hearing the news that Sheffield Wednesday had equalised at Watford. So, really, it's been a surreal week. It still hasn't sunk in, but, yeah, it's been quite an emotional one more than anything, I'd say.
Premier League football, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Who would have thought it's going to be absolutely bonkers in Bournemouth next season? I can't wait for it.
Let's have a look at the League One games then. These teams vying to get into the Championship just have a chance of maybe playing for a place in the playoffs or going straight up to the Premier League next season. Let's start with Chesterfield versus Preston. This is 7:45 on Thursday the 7th of May. Chesterfield, of course, finishing 6th, 4 points clear of Bradford, so they were always pretty safe. Preston were the team not to go up, the unlucky team, losing on the final day to Colchester and ended up finishing 2 points behind MK Dons, but did have a big goal difference to make up as well. So effectively 3 points away from MK Dons. I guess on form, Jason, you have to be looking at Preston. We've got to wonder how not making it up automatically would affect them. I imagine the manager will get them going. You look at the head-to-heads, it was 3-3 at Deepdale earlier this season, but Preston did win away at Chesterfield by 2-0, but that maybe in part because of Sam Hurd being sent off early in that game. But one man who's had good fortune against Chesterfield is Joe Garner. He's got 3 in his 2 games. Owen Doyle scored a hat trick. So there's players with form on the sides in this fixture this season. How do you see it going?
Oh, it's an interesting one, really, when you look at it, because you've got Preston. It's really hard to tell how they're going to react, and it's similar to when we get onto League Two of Southend, and it can go one of two ways, definitely. And there's just a few stats that I picked out over history that are quite interesting about this game that I know Preston fans will like to hear. They've been playing the playoffs the most times, that's 10 occasions, and so that's a record. They've been the most appearances. And they've also got the most unsuccessful team in the playoff record because they failed to win them on 9 occasions. So
terrible record, isn't it?
That's absolutely shocking. So I'm sure they're really not looking forward to these next couple of weeks. And on the other hand, you've got Chesterfield, haven't been Preston since 1999. They did beat them in the Football League Trophy back in 2011 on penalties. But the last 7 meetings between these sides have seen Preston win 4 and then 3 draws. So everything points towards Preston, but you say on the form guide, their last 6 games, they drew 1 with Bristol, drew 2-2 at Gillingham, both at home, drew 2-2 at Port Vale, beats Notts County, who inevitably got relegated in, beat Swindon, who we'll come on to Swindon later, and then managed to lose at Colchester, which kept Colchester up and meant they didn't make it through. So really, it's difficult for me to back Preston here, I'd say, and especially at Chesterfield, who have had a fine season. First time back in League One after winning the League Two title last season. They've won 4 of their last 5 home games, with the defeat coming against Bristol City. And that doesn't mean much because everyone was losing to Bristol City this season. And really, for me, the price is there. If you want to back Preston, there's only one market to go in after me, and that's Joe Garner to score and Preston to win. It's the headline offer. And at 7-2, it's an absolute corker, really. 37 appearances this season for him. And only the 25 goals. He's League One Player of the Year, best season so far, and had a hat-trick against Swindon in the penultimate game of the season. So his confidence really should be flowing here. But for me, the impetus here, Chesterfield have to be leading if they're going to win this tie before going to Deepdale next week, or the weekend. So I see this game being very close early doors, opening up second half. A single goal victory for Chesterfield perhaps looks available on the handicap market with them. -1, so 7-2 there. But 13 of Chesterfield's 19 wins this season have been by just a single goal. So for me, that handicap bet of Chesterfield -1 is probably the pick if you're looking for a Chesterfield bet like I am in this one. A little safe bet, really, is Preston were unbeaten in 9 games prior to that defeat on the final day at Colchester. They've scored in all away games bar 3 this season. And you'd assume Chesterfield have got to score in this game at home to have a chance of doing anything when they go away. So both teams have scored 4-5, but for me, the pick is definitely 7-2 on Chesterfield to win -1. So just a Chesterfield single goal win, so maybe a 1-0. Particularly, I could see a 2-1 here, and that'd be there. And it sets up really nicely for the second leg.
So you're going for basically a Chesterfield one goal winning margin bet. It's a bit awkward because you can't have that bet pre-match as a winning margin bet. If you wait for it in play, you can actually back it. But the tie, go to the match handicaps, tie the middle column, Chesterfield -1 versus Preston +1, 7-2. That's effectively a one goal winning margin. Like it. Sheffield United versus Swindon next then, 5-4, the Blades. 11-5 the draw and 23-10 for Swindon. Sheffield United 5th, Swindon 4th. 8 points separate these two sides. Sheffield United last won a game on the 7th of April. Swindon last won a game on the 14th of April. We were tricked weren't we, on that final day of the season, Jason, going for Swindon at 17-10 to beat Leighton Orient. The draw happened, of course. They weren't helped by having Tyrell Belford sent off after 20 minutes, to be fair, were they? And then they went 2-0 down, then pulled it back to 2-2 at Swindon. Big game, this one. Sheffield United's best form has been at home, although they're far from unbeatable. Swindon Town just running out of form at the wrong time, aren't they?
Yeah, really. They were up there. Possibly they were could have made the a couple of months ago. I'd say around February they could have had a chance of making the automatics. But it's just been a dreadful end to the season. On that note, on Sunday I was at work and I told my brother on the Saturday, back Swindon, and I was getting quite a few expletive text messages the next day when it was 2-0 at half time. So really, Swindon for me just can't be backed again here. Really, Sheffield United do not have a great record in the playoffs if we're looking over history again. They've been in the Championship playoffs four times, failing to get into the final in 98 and losing in the final on all other occasions. Meanwhile, they've played in the League One playoffs, or when it was back in the old division system, three times. They've made the final in 2012, lost to Huddersfield on penalties. I remember that game quite well. It was 9-7 or something, 9-8, I think. That was it, 9-8 that Huddersfield won that one. And they failed to make the final on the other two occasions. So they've never won in the playoffs and gone through the playoffs. And they also have lost the most finals in the playoffs out of any team. So really, it's not looking good for Sheffield United, even if they do get past this game. And on the other hand, Swindon, one of the more successful playoff sides, winning promotion three times through the system. And although last time they lost to Brentford in the semi-finals of the League One playoffs back in 2013, I think. And really, it's a difficult one to call because, as you say, both sides here really not coming in with any form. No one's won in ages, really, when you look at it. And it's a tricky game to really be looking at when Sheffield won one of the last four home games, picking up two draws and losing the other game, conceding each of their last six games. And the last four games have all been under 2.5 goals. So this is leading to something, really. Swindon, without a win in five games, and looking back further, taking just two wins from their final nine games of the season, you can see where it really all went wrong for them. And they've been fairly free-scoring at home recently, but away from home, other than the 4-2 win at Rochdale, which is their last victory, they've scored just one goal in three away matches. And since Christmas, they've only netted twice or more away from home on one other occasion. That was when they beat Doncaster. So really, that sets this game up nicely for the under 2.5 market there. It's available at 7-10, which is an okay offer if you're looking for something quite safe. Personally, I'm swaying towards Sheffield United in this first leg. I think they've had the opportunity that they've been fairly sort of solid in the playoffs for a little while. So they should have had their minds set on this game for quite some time. And I could easily see a repeat of the 2-0 win they had over Swindon at Bramall Lane back in January, really. So Sheffield United at under 2.5 goals here at 16-5 is a very attractive offer. And if you're looking for a pro Swindon bet, some of the headline offers here that they're offering on the playoffs here at William Hill are outstanding. And Andy Williams anytime wincast at 7-1 on Swindon is, if Swindon are going to win this game, I'd kind of back Andy Williams to score here. For me, I'm backing the home side, and I even like the outright price there that they've got just above evens, 5-4. But really good value on 16-5 at Sheffield United under 2.5 goals.
Very nice. The outright promotion prices have Preston at 7-4, the favourite, Sheffield United 9-4, Swindon 11-4, and Chesterfield priced up at 9-2. They're all available on williamhill.com. Just go to the League One section. League Two coming up in a second.
He's shooting the ball to get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. He's shooting the ball to get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. He's playing football, he's scoring. Score a goal, and score a goal. I've got my feet in my dribble shoes.
Plymouth versus Wickham and Stevenage versus Southend. Plymouth-Wickham is the first of the two games. This one takes place on Saturday at 7:45. Stevenage-Southend 6:35 on Sunday. Let's start with Plymouth versus Wickham. 5-4 the home team. It's 23-10 Wanderers and 11-5 the price for the draw. Interesting little stat between these two, Jason. They've played each other quite regularly over recent seasons. The away team has won each of the last five. So Plymouth won 2-0 at Wickham this season and Wickham won 1-0 at Plymouth. Last season, Plymouth 1-0 at Wickham and Wickham won 3-0 at Plymouth. And the season before that, Wickham won by a single goal. So the home team hasn't scored a goal in the last five matches. Wickham finished fourth, just a point behind Bury in the end, and they must be really kicking themselves because they just games where they really should have won. I'm thinking at home to Morecambe, and maybe away even at Wimbledon, home to Oxford United early in the season about a month ago, that they really must be kicking themselves. Plymouth were the final team in the playoffs. This is the best versus the worst in the seven as it stands at the minute, Jason. Wickham, if they don't go up, then they will be kicking themselves. So went into this with a 3-2 win at Northampton. That was a first win in three, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. It's as you say. I think Wickham, for long parts of the season, looked like they were going to be battling out for the not just promotion, but really for the title in this division. But such is the nature of this league that 84 points is not enough for promotion. And three defeats and a draw and just three wins from the last seven games of the season has left them agonisingly short. And it's just difficult to see whether, again, like Preston, can they really get themselves up for this game? And when you look at Plymouth, they dropped out slightly. They coming into this one with some real confidence, though, after ending the season, back-to-back victories, which was needed when it was really close for that final spot in the playoffs. And a couple of weeks ago, they actually dropped out of it, and there was a bit of unrest from the fans getting on the players' back. But they've all rallied together now, and it's turned out quite well with a 3-2 win against Tranmere and a 2-0 win at Shrewsbury on the final day. Sets them up really nicely coming into this one. And those two wins kind of have embodied Plymouth season. What I mean by that is a certain Ruben Reid has got himself back on the score sheet. After an injury layoff, it's around February or March time, he's returned and really fired them back into the playoffs. And there's no headline offers yet in these League Two playoffs. I'm not sure if they will be available, but Ruben Reid anytime, great price, 29-20. Or but free, if you're going to back Ruben Reid, you've got to back the Plymouth win. We spoke about earlier year. When Ruben Reid scores, Plymouth win football matches. So 5-2 here for Ruben Reid to score any time, and the win cast here is one that really stands out, because I just can't back Wickham here really when they've just blown all season. Their season just came apart around probably about March or February. They picked up a couple of defeats, and I think the hammer blow to lose at Burton 1-0 was a really tricky one. And it's just, you look at the Morecambe defeat, to lose 1-0 at home to Morecambe is the reason you don't get the promotion you were needing. It's just heartbreaking really. And how Plymouth's record early in the season, they're very difficult to break down at home. It's difficult to split these two sides, but I think there will be a victory in this first leg, and I could see the either side winning it to nil, because I think if one of these sides does get a goal ahead, they're very good at shutting up shop, and there could be a 0-0 draw already. So 7-10 on both teams to score no, so just a single team on no goals in this match. That price suggests the traders are thinking a similar thing to me, but it's a good offering there, a nice little safe bet. And final one, the last little one in this one goes to the goal time market. Ruben Reid opened the scoring for Plymouth in the opening 10 minutes against both Shrewsbury and Tranmere. And I can see every chance Plymouth coming out here as a home side and trying to catch Wickham a bit cold. So 2-1 Plymouth to score a goal in the opening 30 minutes is a very good price. Or for the bolder people out there that want to really go for it, 9-2 for Plymouth to score in the opening 15 minutes. If you're expecting a really fast start to this game. But I've got to be in the Plymouth camp for this. I might turn for the second leg. Wickham might steal a 1-0 here, and it might be looking like they're going to make it to the final. But as it stands now, I think the price they had is Ruben Reid anytime win cost 5-2 for me.
Yeah, and I was looking at Paul Hayes, and still am for my nap. Obviously, you know, a good goal scorer. There is that worry about just full stop about Wickham, of course. I think he scored the only goal of the game when they played each other at Plymouth. But just incidentally, if you think there might be goals in it, Paul Hayes and Ruben Reid to both score in the match at any time is 11-2, so that might attract a few people.
Yeah, that's a very nice bet.
Yeah, it's a nice price, isn't it? Stevenage versus Southend then is the second of the League Two semi-final first legs. Stevenage 8-5. The draw is 2-1 and Southend are 19-10. The head-to-heads between these two, it was 4-2 at Stevenage back in February, and early in the season, in the second week in August, Southend won 2-0. Southend finished fifth on 84 points, and again, would have been kicking themselves come the end of the season, because they lost to Morecambe, that team again, who scuppered Wickham's automatic promotion charge, and a win for Southend. They're finished on 84 points, a point behind Bury, of course, so kicking themselves as well. Stevenage finished sixth on 72 points, despite losing on the final day to Luton. Stevenage's home form has been pretty good. They had a loss to Dagenham and a draw against Tranmere, but that was the only dropped points since the 21st of February, and that's in total in eight games. Southend's form up until that defeat to Morecambe, though, has been absolutely rock solid, and they would have been the favourites to go up automatically going into that final game. Before losing to Morecambe, they'd won the previous seven games straight, all to nil, Jason. So they were in great nick. It's whether they can pick back up from there. If they can pick back up again, you'd have to be favouring them a little bit here, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's just it's sort of like the old boxing. Can the guy get off the ropes and get back in the fight, really? It's tricky to tell. It's like Preston. Both these sides are probably, when you look at League One and League Two, they've got the two most informed side out of the eight teams, playing each other in this game, because Stevenage won four of their last six, Southend won five of their last six, and it's really quite an intriguing one to see how Southend are going to deal with this sort of mental test. They fought so hard over the last few months, and they really impressed me. Just 1 week on, can they refocus and get up for this game? And Stevenage, unbeaten in four home games, winning three and drawing one. Prior to the defeat at Dagenham, they repeated their record. So their last nine home matches, they've taken six wins, two draws and just a single defeat. So really, the final day when they lost at Luton was the first time that Stevenage had failed to score in seven matches. So they're a side in good nick as well. And you just look at Southend, it's just really difficult to judge what they're going to do. I backed them over the hill at the weekend. I think I had them down to win to nil again, and that just went to pot, really. And could it have been the pressure? I looked at their sort of track over the season, and going into the game, that was the first time they'd been in the automatic promotion spots since August. So we are their side that just can't handle the pressures. Only time will tell. Personally, I feel they would have learned from that experience of dealing with the pressure, and probably come into this game happy to take a draw back to the home second leg. So at 2-1, the draw is always quite a big price, and that's the way I'm leaning in this one. I'm just unsure whether Stevenage, I know they scored four against this Southend side early in the season, but recently the Southend side has been a different animal. So I can't see Stevenage getting a couple of goals they need when Southend are probably going to get at least one goal the way they've been scoring recently. So at me, the draw at 2-1 is a good offering. And I bet that interested me. It's a market that doesn't really get used a lot, from what I hear from punters. Perhaps the win either half market. Southend here at even money to win either half. And the beauty of this market is that Southend can, obviously, if they win the game, they've inevitably at least won one of the halves, so you'll get your money. If they draw, you can still win, or if they lose. So really, if they have a shocking 45 minutes, can see two quick goals, come out and win the second half 1-0, you're still winning your money. And I just think here, in a game like this where you've got two sides that know that there's more to come after this, I think Southend will keep going and be happy to perhaps have a single goal deficit or a draw, like I say. So even money for Southend to win either half, that's a good option to be had here. And I just see this one being two form sides that will probably settle for a draw and expect a more open game in the second leg.
Yeah, I can see that. The outright prices for promotion in League 2 see Southend 15-8, Wickham 5-2, Plymouth 3-1, and Stevenage priced up at 7-2. The standings for the Naps, you've got a healthy lead here, Jason, with only three more Naps to pick. This semi-final, the second leg and the final, £141.75 in profit. Very nice. Sam Ashu would be very proud. Pete's on plus 20. Pete has, it doesn't sound that good, but Pete was on I think it was minus 120. So he's pulled himself into the black. I'm on currently on plus 12. So I think it's fair to say, unless we do something remarkable between now and the playoff final, that you're in an unassailable position here. What are you going for?
It's a tricky one because they're all really difficult games. I'd say when you look at the face of it, you've either got two sides that have got no form whatsoever or two sides that are banging form. But for me, I look at the Plymouth game against Wickham. I just can't back Wickham in this game. And Ruben Reed has come up trumps a couple of times for me and for Sam earlier in the year. So I'm going to go back to someone that's worked. And 5-2 for Ruben Reed to score any time and Plymouth to win is the one that I'm going to go for this weekend. Hopefully we'll stretch that perhaps around the £160 mark. And maybe we might just make the 200 if we have a great playoffs, but I can't see it myself. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself.
I like your confidence. You've got to have something to aim for, haven't you? After all. I see no reason to have a look at that. I'm going to go for a goal scorer as well. I'm not going to go for Paul Hayes, though, because Wickham have have chinned me a few times. And although I like the price at 2-1, I think it's a good price. To be fair, I think 10 of his, I don't think many of his goals have come away from home, and he's not that prolific. I'm going to go for Joe Garner, though, for Preston, 11-8 to score at any time. 10 of his goals have come away from home this season. He's obviously, as Jason was saying, he's had a fantastic season, and I think there will be goals in that game. I think Preston will attack this game and really try and take a lead back to Deepdale. I'll go for Joe Garner 13-8. Excellent, Jason. Thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the first legs, and we'll speak to you before the second legs of these semi-finals. The way this is working, by the way, just to kind of put you in the picture if you haven't checked already, the League Two playoffs are on Saturday and Sunday, and then the second legs are both on Thursday, the 14th of May. So we'll preview those midweek next week, around Tuesday or Wednesday time. And the way it works in the League One, Thursday, both League One first legs, and then the second legs are on Sunday at 12:15 when Preston have the return leg against Chesterfield, and Monday the 11th when Swindon play Sheffield United at 7:45. So we'll preview both those games on Saturday. All a bit confusing, but just keep an eye on the 72.co.uk or subscribe via iTunes, and the podcast will be delivered to you. Phone, your tablet, or your PC. Thanks to Jason. Thanks to Pete for his thoughts earlier on in the championship. We'll be back very soon. Enjoy the matches. And if you're having a bet on either of the playoff matches, if you're having a bet on any of the playoff matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.